All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the In the Dome. We Suck podcast.
All right. Well, we'll get into the only saving grace around here is the Oilers sucking. And I would be fine. I would be totally fine, ass fine with where we're at if the fucking organization and the management could admit that we suck.
Nah, we're going to double down and re-sign a bunch of these guys.
Who else is old? Let's re-sign him. Let's extend the oldest guys. Because let's do this. We're still competitive.
You got to lock in this core right now.
Now is the time. We got to lock them all down.
Losers, the last
5 of the last 6. Lock everybody up. Well, thankfully, the news that was slim. Salem, is that how you said it? Was supposedly going to break that Hanifin was going to sign his big extension yesterday.
Yeah, I think old Salem just kind of jumped the gun on that one.
Thank God that was a big nothing burger. Because, I mean, how can you sit here watching this bull crap? Because, I mean, look, I didn't mind the game tonight. I thought this is one of their better energetic, enthused performances. At least we saw some heart out there. I don't give a shit if you suck. Just play with heart. At least admit you suck, though. Please. Don't keep signing. Don't keep extending. Oh, yeah, I like this roster.
I like this roster that tries really hard but can't score a goal to save their fucking life.
You know what? I like what I see here. Losers 5 out of 6. Let's extend everybody. Just keep this roster for the next 10 years. Can we be the first team? Yeah, can we have a blanket extension? Just the whole team.
No, only guys over like 28, though. That's it. 26. 26 is the youngest you can be.
Yeah, and then whoever your best player is, we'll move on from you. Toffoli, hat trick tonight.
Yeah, that was a nice touch.
It's funny, though. I'm watching, like, you know, in between. Oh, no, it was before the Flames game started. And I was kind of ice surfing. Oh, yeah. This is the Montreal game. Oh, yeah, Monty. Watch that for a minute. Oh, Monty. Oh, good old Monty. Good old Monty. They go to the next game. X-Flame. Another X-Flame playing. Oh, another X-Flame. Here we go. It's all the old boys. You just got to surf the channel, and you get to see the old team back together. It's great. And then you turn back to our game, and it's just a fucking – you got to watch Hubert. Dude. Like I said, tonight against the Rangers, at least they fucking played with some emotion.
It was funny. I was listening to the last like few minutes just on the radio as I was driving home, and it's like Wills is like Huberto spins and he ices the puck. Icing for Huberto. Huberto gets the puck, spins, and puts that right on the stick of Panarin.
There was that Sharon Govich played great, but God, we can't finish.
Well, that was it. Yeah, like how many chances Coleman line played great tonight, but that's like their MO, right? Dominate, can't
grind
finish.
grind it out, get lots of chances in tight, can't raise the puck when it counts. I mean, Huberto got to the side of the net all alone. Was that late in the third? And it's just like even Kadri, I don't know if it was on the power play when it was. Where's the quick release, man? Growing up playing through the minor hockey system and, you know, the bantam and midget, whatever quadrants in Calgary, playing at the sports school, it's like you practice quick release. You watch Joe Sakic play. You watch the best fucking, like, you practice that shit. There's the you're looking at the power play. Huh, my God, man. There's one instance. It was the second unit, so it's Hanifin up there. And yeah, they're dishing around. They're moving it quite nicely tonight. Yeah, great. Can we get a fucking chance, please? But you have Hanifin up there, and there's Backlund right fucking there. There's a lane right to him because everybody was collapsed in doing whatever they were just doing, and now Hanifin has it. You have a perfect, perfect opportunity to do a quick dish one-timer. Now let's pass it to the guy that has a fucking already in coverage.
Or just lob it in from the point and missing it by a mile.
Oh, yeah, just fucking lob her in there. Yeah. That's how we want to generate our highest scoring danger chances on the power play with the man advantage. Just fucking lob it in there. So, I don't know. Like, I'm sitting there, and tonight I'm like, well, geez, at least they care. Like, they're actually trying. They're playing with some urgency. I haven't seen that in a long ass time. But we suck. That's the only problem.
Yeah. Yes. The last two games bookended are really interesting because it was like the Detroit game, you get shellacked. That was like the team at their worst. But I think the more disappointing thing is like tonight, they were pretty much at their best. They dominated 5-on-5. Like high danger scoring chances were like 13-4. They had the puck all night. They should have won that game and they couldn't score to save their lives, and they didn't get a save when they needed one. And it's like,
well, and
that's the story
again. Your $10.5 million player,
yeah, didn't have a point. What do you have? One shot, one chance.
Cannot generate a goal when he's on the ice. One. How many power plays tonight?
Three or four.
It's unacceptable. Is what it is. I mean, the Rangers are a good team. Like, yeah, I got it. We're just not good.
We're not good. Like that's you're back at home. It's your first. You need to lock that shit down.
So, and I mean,
you played okay. You should have, like, fuck, dude. Like, yeah, come on.
We talked about this on the last one where it's just like, man, like without the high end talent, even though we're paying premium dollars, like we do have it and we actually don't. So without the high end talent, you have to work like Seattle. So, I mean, Zadorov made a bang-on comment before the game this morning. I mean, we'll get into that. But this team is going to have to grind every night, and they're going to have to grind together. Like, and I'm watching the fucking final minutes, and it's just like, you know the game's over, and there's Huberto, and it's like...
You knew it was over. Like, you knew it was over at, like, 1-1, because I was like, I don't think they're going to score 2 on Shesterkin. So it was done by then already. And then Markstrom lets in like what, 3 on 13 at that point. And
that's it. That's another weak goal. Does Huberto have can he get angry? Like that helps. When you stink, what seems like perpetually, get angry.
Could his agent tweet something? Could somebody be mean to this guy so his agent could tweet something and play one good game?
Like, he's big, but he's just fucking, like, what was it? I don't know who hit who, but there's a scrum. And he went in there, like, to do something, and the guy just grabbed his visor and twisted it, and he was like, I give up. There's no fucking fight in him. He has no fight. That is probably why he stinks. Like, does he need to... Is he not eating red meat? Is he just having fucking soy burgers? Like, what is wrong with this guy?
Soy milk lattes. He's on that Beyond Meat.
Soy milk lattes, Beyond Meat. Can I get a Beyond Meat? Do you guys have soy milk lattes? I'm going to get some soy with my whatever. What's in the Beyond Meat? Is that more soy? Oh, soy on soy on soy on soy on soy.
It's all soy and seed oils.
Yeah. I aspire to look like a sumo wrestler. Just give me more soy. I'd rather cry in the corner than get angry and do something about how bad I stink at hockey. I was listening to Steinberg's show, and they're Steinberg is defending Huberto at the moment, and look, he's got a case. Like, he hasn't been dog shit. But, like, we're starting to see the same Huberto that we've seen last year, right? And maybe people just recognize it sooner. But there was, I can't even remember who's on a show with him, but they're reading some of the call-in tweets, and they're pretty nasty. But people were saying, yeah, you can't even take or receive a pass. And there's a lot of pushback on that on Steinberg's show that, yes, he can. He's in the NHL, but... I think the point is you watch him, even on the power play, he's just forcing and fumbling. Like, how many passes ends up in a pair of skates?
At least 90%.
Yeah, like, what is the ratio? It is not good. It's a high ratio of pass into skates. And these are like, dude, if you can't feather something across the ice, don't fucking try it. Do something else. Maybe get to someone that can. Or like, I don't know, man. I don't know what this guy's going to do. Because at this rate, do you see him turning things around?
No.
He's got to get mad or angry or something, dude. Like,
I don't know. Like, that was the thing last year. Darryl was poking and prodding him, maybe trying to piss him off, and it didn't really work. So I don't know what you do. How do you motivate this guy? And I mean, I like, what do you do if you're Huska now? Because, like, fucking poor guy. It's like you've been billed as Mr. Nice Guy. It's like, that's really working.
Well, this is the main discussion coming into tonight. After that road trip, which, by the way, the last one recorded, I said they'll probably win in Buffalo and lose the next two.
You nailed it.
And they did. I didn't know Detroit is number one in power rankings in the league.
They've been awesome.
They're playing great hockey.
Boy, are they fun to watch.
Who's the manager of that team?
Yeah. Remember about... 6 months ago, we were talking about, I was listening to Steve Yzerman's year-end press conference, and I was just commenting how impressive it was. He was just talking about the plan and sticking to the plan and how important it is to retain your skilled young players and, you know, make sure you get things for assets at the trade deadline, things of that nature, you know. Well, actually had a plan. It's crazy how, like, now the team's good.
Yeah, we're doing the opposite. Extending, trying to extend Lindholm, but
you know, hey, yeah, like you said, you gotta lock this core down, man.
Gotta lock them down. I like what we see. Want more of this? We need more of this in the future. That's what we want to commit to right now.
Why can't we see Wolf as the other thing? Like, geez, oh God. Only dude. The Flames would be pulling this. Like, again, like you can't blame. Well, maybe you can. You can't score one goal and expect to win, but like, the Flames outshoot them, outchance them by a huge margin, they lose. Flames are the only teams who would pull the shit. How bad was Vladar versus Detroit? And that's what's coming back. This is what's coming back to you in a roundabout way. It's like, Because Huska apparently is kind of having them play a very similar way. Like, I don't know what you've picked up on change-wise. Like, they're playing a very similar style of hockey. Just a lot of possession hockey, and they haven't really opened it up offensively. Probably because the coaching staff realizes that we don't have the talent to do that. So they're trying to play like this kind of like low-event hockey where they can grind out wins. But that's predicated on having a good goaltender. That's what they were trying to do last year. They couldn't get the saves. And it's kind of happening again this year. And it's like, you've got the, I guarantee the only franchise in the entire league who would have the two-time AHL goalie of the year in the minors when they're having goaltending problems is the Flames.
Yeah. Well, what was it? Buffalo? That guy sucked. But
oh, yeah. He was bad, but still, like, I think he was drafted, this Devin Levi was drafted the same year as Wolf.
Or was it the year after? I thought it was the year after.
It was the year after, yeah. He's a year younger. And in, like, the seventh round, and he's right out of college, and they're starter, essentially. They're giving him a go. Meanwhile, we've got the best goalie in the world, not in the NHL. Just, like, what is he, 3-0 in the minors this year? Yeah. Makes sense. He probably only needs another 4 years down there before we'll see him on Washington.
Don't worry, Matt Phillips was just an enigma. That'll never happen.
It was just a one-time case, yeah.
Yeah, it's two-time. Okay, two-time case. That's it, though. We're done after that.
But I think, you know, like, it's all fun, and I think it is fun to poke fun at, like, the bullshit fun guy, Mr. Nice Guy. But I think I kind of feel bad for the coaching staff, because this is a bad roster. This is a roster with zero talent.
Dude. I mean, that was Carter's best game since, what, game 5 last year?
Yeah. He disappeared for, what, 57 games?
I don't know, man. I'm not writing these guys off yet, because I saw something today I haven't seen in fucking forever since Matthew Tkachuk was on this team, where there was an actual will to win.
There's a just will the, to win. I just don't know skill. If they have just, the skill to win.
Just the skill wasn't there. But here's the thing. Like, with, you know, if Huska can get everybody playing as a cohesive unit, you don't need all the skill to win. You don't. Well,
that's what Zadorov was saying today, right?
Yes. Let's talk about it. I mean,
interesting he's saying that. I don't hear that from captain or assistant captains.
So I guess you better put it in there. If you haven't heard it, Zadorov, this is, I guess, morning skate, after the morning skate.
Yeah.
His thoughts on the losing 5 out of 6 games, the piss poor road trip.
There's some things need to get working on, but I think main thing for us, we're just not working as the unit yet. We have too many individuals playing by themselves, so I think we're going to figure out. So we want to play as the team, or we want to play as the home guy, whatever.
So how do you get everyone to buy in collectively? Is it a team meeting? Like, how do you get those individuals to row in the same direction?
Yeah, I mean, we watch videos. We agree on some stuff together. So hopefully we bring the better effort tonight.
Is that something that you as players talk about, guys being too much?
Yeah, we do. We do talk about that. Yeah.
Are those uncomfortable conversations?
Well, you got to be uncomfortable in your life, I think. I don't think you should be comfortable in your life, or you're not going to be the best version of yourself, you know what I mean? So I think it's definitely a good thing for our team. We only 6 games into the season, and we're trying to figure out who's want to be here, who wants to play for who. So we've got lots of time. You know, I don't think our division team's only one team is rolling right now. Pretty much everybody's in the same boat as us. So I think we can definitely use some wins.
Does it concern you that these are a little bit the same conversation that took place last season? Or?
Well, last season was different. Like it was Daryl. Now there's no Daryl, so there's no excuses. You know what I mean? You guys don't like hard coaches. You don't like good soft coaches. You don't like good coaches. Fair. Like, I mean, you just. It's a new day league, you know. You come up here, you play hard, and you just leave everything on the ice. I think that's how simple.
I'm watching the intermission, the first intermission, and Francis, the first time I'll agree with him. He's Zadorov is voicing what a lot of fans are thinking and feeling. So thank you. Like, that's why Tkachuk was so great. Just very candid. Didn't get any cliches from Tkachuk, just straight up from the hip. And he would speak truth. Like, there you go. There's some truth. And as I don't know, what'd you text me? It's like, where's that from the leaders, quote unquote? And I'm just like, well, this, I think the leader just said it. And it's funny because you're all this Sutter hate, hey? All this Sutter blame. Was Sutter the perfect coach for this group? Obviously not. But Sutter's not the reason this group didn't succeed. This group is the reason this group didn't succeed. So I don't know, like hearing that, that's good. It's encouraging. And the way that they came out, apparently they're having meetings in the rooms.
Players only meetings season already? Only 2 weeks?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, classic Flames, yeah. What's the over-under this year, boys? 3? The over-under of a fucking players only meeting is set at 3.5. Betting odds are now fucking gable, blah, 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 blah. But Francis said, it's like, and Zadorov said it. There's no excuse. The bad guy's gone. We all got what we wanted. So now that we suck, it's our fault now. It has to be. And yeah, he's right. Oh, it's kind of funny. It was interesting because what did you say with the media? How it just flipped?
Well, it's so funny, right? Because like, what did you hear 2 weeks ago in all preseason? Oh, the vibes.
Oh my God, the feels so good in there.
Guys, you don't know. It feels so much different and so much better. And
let me tell
positivity
you.
And rainbows and sunshine flowing out of everybody's assholes.
Yeah, you just walk down the hallway and a rainbow shoots right out of someone's asshole.
Huberto's just incredible. Walking around whistling, clicking his heels.
Just floating on air. I think I saw him float down the hall. It was so light. We called it.
2 weeks later.
Good. Does it mean you're going to win now? Could it equate to winning? Because that would be great. Sure doesn't. I'm not going to write this team off yet. I still think you have good and above average players. Could you find some chemistry?
Well, dude,
the only chemistry we've seen in two fucking seasons now is Mangiapane, Coleman, and Backlund.
That's it. That's the only line that consistently works. And it was funny to me, like, Huska already going back to the Huberto Kadri thing in Detroit, which was, like, obviously a terrible idea. But, I mean, he probably did it for a reason. And it's like... My theory on it is like whatever line those two guys are on, they're dragging that line down. So it's like, well, throw them out together and we'll have one line that sucks instead of two separate lines.
I can't believe how bad Kadri is, man. What is his? Or they're the two most highest paid Flames.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the two 7 worst.
7 million and 10 and a half. Yeah.
Minus
four in Detroit.
Our two most highest paid players are the worst on the team.
Well, Kadri has 1 point this year. Sean Monahan has as many points as Huberto and Kadri combined. It was an encouraging game tonight, but you keep coming back to those two guys. And it's just like, yeah, I don't believe in them at this point.
At least, the silver lining in this is that this is going to probably change Conroy's attitude in terms of, let me lock up. And even in the intermission, it's like, oh, yeah, everybody's praising Hanifin. Yeah, this would be great for the Flames to lock him up. Why? We suck.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like,
why are we continuing to just stay the same?
Why are they hell bent on signing all these guys who are? This is not a good team. Like John Bean. Like I just keep going back to that press conference and it's like they're so delusional.
Yes.
Just remember that.
I'm not allowed. I can't use
them. We have Mackenzie Weegar. He's really. We got Jacob Markstrom.
He's a world. He's a best in the final.
Fuck you guys. It's like, bang holy on the table. Shit.
Bang it on the table. I can't say that. It's like,
that's really what we're dealing with. We've got Noah Hanifan and Uyghur. We're good. Holy shit, dude. So yeah, they're just, they're hell bent on signing these guys. And it's like, I don't know if it's like a weird thing that they just feel so insulted that Gaudreau and Tkachuk didn't want to stay.
I don't know.
They're just like, we got to sign everyone. See, people love to be in Calgary. They love it here.
Dude, that impression is through the fucking roof. That's all I gotta say.
That's what it's like with these signings. And
it is. It's crazy. Or is he just drunk? Is he just fucking, is he just like at what? A two, is it a 2-6? 2-6 deep? Is he 2-6 deep when he comes to that press?
Seriously.
No.
God damn it.
You can say it. I can't. No, never.
But you've got to be shitting yourself if you watch that road trip and be like, yeah, the thing we should do is definitely lock up Hanifin and Lindholm to addition to this core. That sounds great.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. So, yeah, you're talking about this. Oh, yeah, the rainbow is shooting of everybody's asshole fucking to start the season. Now, to what? What has it been, 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
When did the season start?
Two weeks? And the media is like, Zadorov's like calling everybody out and everyone's like, oh, that, oh.
Jeez, yeah, maybe there's some issues here. So it's funny because it was after the Detroit game when it's just like Twitter is, well, what do you call it? Can I call it Twitter? Everybody knows what I'm talking about. It's not.
It's Twitter.
It's Twitter. Fuck off. Twitter, the Twitter vibe. The Twitter vibe check after the Detroit game. That's more entertaining than the fucking anything else I've seen all season.
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck. But it's funny.
Oh, the hockey's so boring.
Everyone's just like, oh, yeah, I guess it was really Daryl's fault, wasn't it? Yeah.
It's like Daryl's just at the farm cracking a beer, just like laughing his ass off. He probably hasn't watched one set. He probably has no idea what's going on.
No, he doesn't give a fuck because he knew he was right the whole time. Can you believe that this group got all soft and quit?
Yes.
On Daryl. And you look at I don't want to talk about Daryl all podcast. I don't, but we have to because of where we're at in the season. And when the reality sinks in that your general manager did not, I'm talking about Brad, your previous general manager did not do a great job of managing the roster over 10 years. And right before he dips, he loses the two best players on the team and replaces them with, at this moment, dog shit.
Well, and listen, you don't want to talk about Daryl, but we kind of have to because everybody's kind of just like sweeping this under the rug. Like, and hey, maybe they turn it around. But at this moment in time, it's kind of like, well, yeah, it kind of looks like a lot of what Daryl was saying was right. But we were told by media, by a lot of the fans, by the team themselves, that the only change that needed to be made for this team to be good was the coach.
Yep.
So that's why we have to talk about it, because that's how they based their entire offseason, was we don't need to do anything because we believe that just removing this head coach will lead to better results.
Yeah. And I don't think the season's over here. I'm really curious to see. Because now they're forced. They can't. There's nothing to blame. So how are they going to respond now? Because that was you and me and a lot of other people's biggest issue with the whole center bashing.
Exactly.
It's just like, yes, okay, yeah, he's not the best coach. Like, yes, he had his flaws, and yes,
he's a dick. We get
he's a dick and a stubborn asshole, and he pissed me off about how stubborn he was. He lost. He didn't help us win. Like, you know, but the biggest issue was that, you know, the season was a wash because of him, according to the players. And so now that the coach, that he's gone, and you know, I think we're worse. But I'm interested to see what's going to happen, because there is no blame to point. They don't have anyone to put the blame on, so they have no other option. It's really fascinating. It's a fascinating spot to be in, because we're going to see what they're made of. And if they're not made of what it takes, maybe they can forge themselves, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, the whole diamonds formed, right? With the highest pressure or whatever, like whatever that saying goes. We're going to see it. Like, you're 2-3-1. You've lost 5 of the last 6. Is that right? That's what I heard at the end.
2-4-1, but lost 5 of the last 6, yeah.
Yeah.
And you've played, like, I think you've probably played, was tonight their best game? Probably.
That was the most, what's that word? Urgency. That was the most urgent I've seen them play in since going back to the beginning of last season. So to me, that's nice. And if you can clean up your game, like, look, the Rangers are good, man. We played a good team. We played
They slept and walked tonight, and they still won.
Detroit's a good team, and the Rangers are a good team.
Their skill brought them. Their skill won them the game tonight. Shesterkin and some really skilled plays by their best players.
They won on skill. That was about it. So if you're the Flames and you're Huska, if you're Huska, you obviously, you know, you're so new, you're not going to give up anyways, but you got to grasp at anything you can. If you're the team, I think, who knows, if they start blaming Zadorov now, like, I don't know, but they got to band together and they got to find a way. They don't have to win the Stanley Cup. They just got to put together, you know, a season where they as a group grow. That should be the goal. And then they'll see some success, and, like, hopefully we'll see some individual success. But, like, fuck, dude, Zadorov nailed it. You got to wait, like, what's his name? Kadri? I can't even remember his name. Like, fuck. Oh,
invisibly. Well, my big thing too is, like, because, like, I don't disagree with you. I was like, hey, I'm not writing them off, but it's like, fuck, these guys are all veteran guys. Like, this was the whole point of this team. It was like, when, like, after the trade happened, it was like, oh, these guys are Stanley Cup contender because they're, like, a bunch of veteran guys. You got, there's like Kadri and Coleman. I mean, Coleman's good tonight, but it's like, these are veteran guys who are proving time and time again that they just don't have what it takes. Like, this isn't just a bunch of kids who are just gonna, like, you know, come together and go on a cool run. It's like,
well, they don't have what it takes from an individual skill place, but I still believe that as a team playing together as a team, as a unit, can beat anybody. Maybe you don't win in a 7-game series against some fucking upper echelon skill who is also playing together, but there is possibility that, I mean, they could still make the playoffs. Maybe this is the best thing for this group, not for me as a fan, because I've fucking had enough. I watched enough of this last season. It's not fun to watch. You mean you play a decent period and it's like, we're going to blow this. Like, it's just a matter of time.
I thought it was supposed to be fun. I thought it was, everything was about fun, and they were going to open it up offensively, and it was just going to be a high-flying, fun old time.
When does fun kick in? When do the fans get to have fun? When do we get to have fun?
Can we do, like, can we do a big mopey thing and get Huberto traded because we're not having fun?
Yeah. Can we start that?
Yeah.
It is cancel culture.
Yeah, right? Like,
decade. Can we
Don Maloney do a wide swath interview of all the fan base and, like, get some of these guys who are boring as shit to watch out of here?
Yeah, can we say we're not having fun? Can we get some new players? Would that work? That'd be nice. I guess you put your dollar where your what is that? Money where your mouth is.
Money where your mouth is.
The money will speak. I don't know.
I just don't see it. Like, I think they could maybe be in the playoff race, but holy shit, dude. Like,
just bring up Wolf.
Yeah, I know. That's it. How much different would you be? How much different would you be feeling? I was thinking about this today. Like,
I wouldn't give a fuck about losing.
2-4-1, and, like, Wolf was playing, and you had some of the other younger guys up. Like, let's say you back this up to the off season, and you know what? You do sell a few things, and you go more into this, like, youth movement.
Yes, please.
More so than you did. And
because what we're doing is not working.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, they kind of suck, but at least we're seeing some kids and it's fun to watch. Like, you'd be feeling way different as a fan if they had sold off a little bit instead of hearing, oh, they're re-signing Hanifin. Oh, they're still Lindholm desperately, they're offering Lindholm the fucking whole city of Calgary.
The next biggest fucking Flames contract, would it be Martin Huberto? No.
Be close.
Can't believe how much
would be more, even though, like,
how does Huberto make $10.5 million?
I'm gonna post this later. Every single team played tonight, and I'm just gonna post the stats of the 10 highest played players in the league, of which Huberto is the 10th. In front of him is only McKinnon, McDavid, who was hurt tonight, Panarin, Matthews, Carlson, Pasta, Tavares, Doughty, Marner. All those guys had really good nights tonight, obviously. With maybe the exception of Doughty.
Because they're good players.
McKinnon had a great night. Panarin obviously had a pretty good night. Matthews had a really good night. Boston won again. But it's just like, I'm sitting here watching Jack. Like, it's like, oh, Jack Hughes has 13 points in five games, or 14 points in like five games. And I'm sitting here listening to the radio, but well, Huberto's point per game, he hasn't been that bad. He's got 4 points now in seven games. He's on pace for less points than last year already. Great.
Oh my God.
It's on pace for like 50 points. Not great, Bob. Not great.
Not great.
So
not great.
Just think about how much different things you feel. And this is more of an organizational thing than a player thing. Like, if they were doing things like, yeah, we're not. Like, if you weren't hearing, they're going to re-sign Hanifin and they're going to re-sign Lindholm and, we haven't seen Wolf yet for some unknown reason. You'd feel a lot different if you just knew there was some semblance of a goddamn long-term plan. Other than, well, we think we have a good team that just underperformed this year. Let's try again next year.
Man, the writing has been on the wall for fucking, oh. I don't know why, but I was just thinking of, do you remember the moment? What were you, where were you, where was your headspace at? The moment Johnny Gaudreau.
Oh, fuck me, dude.
Scores the series clinching goal against the Stars.
So and
we're going around two. We finally got over the hump. We got the Jack Adams coach. We got the Vezina fucking goaltender. Johnny's found his game. Tkachuk is just entering his prime.
I'm going to fucking cry right now. We did a show the day after they were eliminated by the Oilers. I believe the title of the show was distinct kicking motion directly to the balls. And we talked for like an hour. And I was like, you know what? Like, we lost, but there's no better time. I was so fucking pumped for the next year. I was like, I can't wait to come back and go nuclear on the Oilers. There's no better time to be a Flames fan, were my exact words.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's where this all started to fall apart. And you know what? Brad did, at least, I don't know, man. Obviously, he didn't. He didn't do fuck all to fix the problem. He tried, but knowing what we know now, fuck. Oh, God. How do we get out of this? Someone was posting
the don't know how you get out of this. This is...
Someone was posting the Kadri bio. How you get out of this is you fucking realize you suck.
Exactly.
Without the self-awareness, you can't move forward, and that's where
exactly.
We're
stuck. Huberto and Kadri are the tank commanders, is what they should be. Not the, oh, we're going to try and make the playoffs with Huberto and Kadri. No, they should be tank chief commanders.
Was the power play 0 for 4?
Oh, dude, okay. I don't know what's going on. So I like how we go from, yeah, we're not writing them off to like a full, like, fuck, we should be tanking.
Oh, dude, they suck. They suck. They suck. Watch the games. We're not good. And so, well,
you can tell, and I think that's why everybody is so like, wow, we suck, because like we said last time, this feels like game 83, 4, 5, 6, 7, 88 of 89
game,
of last year.
Game 92 starts
tonight. Starts tonight.
Game 92.
Next game starts tonight. Fuck, I miss Sean Monahan.
Starts game 93.
Starts tonight.
It starts tonight. I mean, like...
What the fuck have we been through the last 5 years with this team?
Dude, why did 04 even happen?
Why? If 04 never happens, I would.
Well, we wouldn't be doing this.
I
would have
been
right
like
now.
I was a Dallas Stars fan as a child because the Flames were never in the playoffs and Dallas always played Edmonton in the playoffs and it was always on TV. So I was like, if 04 never happened, I probably would never become a Flames fan. I wouldn't be like this. I wouldn't have this condition. God.
It's a mental illness, I think.
The NFL season is going strong and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking up new customers with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets. DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener every game day this October. So get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That code is THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for a problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas? 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Back to the show!
It wasn't Sutter.
Yeah.
He was not the issue. Fuck.
Well, you know what? Like, time will tell. I don't want to do our victory lap. It's not really a victory lap, I was saying this kind of last year. It was like everyone was like, "Oh, the Flame. Darryl's holding the Flames back." Like, I was like, honestly, like with this roster, just based on the fact you lost two of the top 10 players in the league and almost got a team into the playoffs, like that's pretty good job, I think. If you look at it in reverse, it's like he almost got that shitty team into the playoffs. Wow. Good job. Yeah. You should win the Jack Adams for that.
With your two most important players having career bad years.
Had the league's second worst goaltending and you still almost got them into the playoffs.
How? 5-on-5, beasts. A high school kid was the power play coach last year. We'd be in the playoffs.
Imagine Dustin Wolf was in net last year. You'd be in the playoff.
Yeah.
But
imagine AHL.
Where I was going with this before I got on a big Sutter tangent was, okay, what's with the power play? It looked great game one, and then it's been dog shit ever since. Like, I think that's another thing that's kind of like leaving me like feeling shitty is like
there's no aspect of our game that's
dangerous. Thought at least when Huska took over, I was like, okay, well, you know what, like at least we'll be a little more exciting to watch, maybe. And I guess this is just even more reflection and even more of hammering home how bad this team is talent wise.
Yep.
Because if this is us opening off offensively, holy shit.
Yeah. So good.
But I don't know what's going on in the power play. Like, it looks terrible.
It looks awful.
I think we're like heading into tonight, we're like 20th in the league in terms of percentage, 19th in terms of total goals. Looks terrible. Looks just as bad as it did last year.
Yep.
And it's crazy to like, I don't know how
maybe not quite as bad as last year.
I guess they're moving the puck around, but they're just whipping around the perimeter.
Yeah,
But like you watch other games and you watch just like it's like, hey, Ottawa, like they're not very good. Well,
no, they're good.
They have some skill and they're fast, but it's like I'm watching the Ottawa game last night. The power play looks incredible, and they're making all these plays that I never see the Flames even attempt. It's like these little, like the even the goal Kreider scored tonight, that sweet little tip side of the net goal. That's not a difficult play. Like, where's that in the Flames arsenal? Like,
well, because whatever D-man gets it up top, and for some reason it's fucking Hanifin's out there.
It's Hanifin or Anderson who still stands at the fucking red line when he's manning the point on the power play for some odd reason. Seriously, watch this. I don't think this happens on any other top power play unit with whoever is rovering that thing or who's the defenseman on the power play. Rasmus Anderson stands outside the blue, no matter where the puck is on the ice, if he doesn't have it, he's outside the blue line on the power play. It's mind-boggling.
Well, and even PP2's out there, Hanifin gets it, and there's a wide open lane.
Oh yeah, he's got no
skate to skate the puck. And this is the thing, it's like we were talking about this last year. Watch the good power plays. They move it around, and as soon as the player gets it, they start inching towards the net. Inching, because that's where the danger fucking area is. We don't do it though. We don't inch towards shit.
You watch the Oilers play.
We inch away from the net.
It's like a freaking hurricane, and then all of a sudden, Drysdale's like wide open in the slot. It's like, oh, how did that happen? If you pass it, if the Flames were running a hurricane and you pass it to where like usually McDavid or Bouchard is, and he blasts it all the time, Anderson is like goes way back to the fucking red line because that's where Anderson is. He hasn't moved his feet up there.
Anyways. Oh my god! If you here's a thought. The highest IQ players, the five of them you have on your team, should be on the power play.
And not the fucking, lowest.
Any combination of whatever fucking positions they play. And you sure your shit shouldn't have the guy with the lowest hockey IQ on your team manning the fucking point. I swear to God, man. Like, he's like, there's a fucking wide open lane to skate the puck at least down to the top of the circles where you could make a dangerous play. You could maybe hit the net. You could find another, maybe then you look for a pass. But no, just stand there, wait till someone collapses the box back, and then try and fucking move it around the horn. Like it's.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Remember Versteeg?
Yeah.
Just revolutionized the fucking atrocious, historically bad power play here in Calgary.
The Brouwer play.
A fucking forward on the blue line.
I just don't get how, like, Mark Savard, like, that's really been disappointing because you're always so offensively. And I was talking to somebody who watches a lot of junior hockey heading into the season. I was like, oh, sweetie, you said about Savard. And he was like, you know what? Like, I watched a lot of Windsor and his power play setup's been pretty basic. I don't know if I expect much.
Well, like I called it.
Yeah, I texted him the other night. I was like, boy, did you call it? And he's like, yeah,
told you. Fuck is he, dude? He's on the Keith Tkachuk diet, eh?
Him and Keith have been hanging out, eh?
I couldn't believe it, dude. Panned to the bench. I'm like, yo, what's going on?
We used to call him Pretty Boy back in the day.
Him and Brent Cron must be hanging out.
Get Cron away from all the Flames staff.
Just having a weekly cheeseburger eating contest. I'm going to beat you this week.
This family pack of Timbits. Brent Cron shows up with a family pack. It was all for me. I can't wait until, because you know,
get your own family pack.
You know, Chucky and Brady are going to be like freaking, I can't wait till they're old and look like Keith.
Matthew will keep in shape. Brady won't, though. Brady's already fucking
not shape. Brady looks a bit, yeah. Do you see him fight tonight, Tuck? Man, that was awesome.
I didn't see him fight tonight. I saw him fight the other night, though. Like, this guy's I love these guys.
Yeah.
I wish I had a player on my team I loved.
Where do you get those guys?
Wasn't that nice when you loved your own fucking players on your own
team? Instead of hated them. Instead of they get the puck and you're like, Fuck Huberto. Oh my god.
The amount of hate I feel for this.
Who's that fucking loser? Oh fuck this guy.
Dude,
what it's like.
I'm not even kidding. Half the night I'm like, this fucking idiot. Oh my god.
And it becomes such a perpetuating cycle. It's just really bad.
Oh yeah,
like,
I'm just in a negative state.
Oh, there's Huberto. Oh, nice pass between the legs, spinning pass, you fucking idiot.
And then finally they score, like, oh fuck, about fucking time, you fuckers.
It's like every time he scored a goal that was disallowed in Detroit after, I was just like, what a fucking loser. Look at that. Oh, he scored. Oh,
oh yeah.
Fucking loser. It was disallowed. Oh, yeah, you now, fucking yeah, suck.
Now you score, you fucking loser.
Exactly.
You flip on the fan. All these guys are playing great. I'm fucking, you know, I'm looking really great things.
Point per game. It was so, oh dude, how bad was Huberto that Detroit game though? And Kadri, obviously.
-4?
Well, -4. And you watch the games. Like, he doesn't back check. It's a James Neal back check.
He's so slow, dude. Is he the new Lucic?
Turns the puck over.
I'm realizing now that Milan Lucic is, okay, Milan Lucic off the roster, good. But now it exposes your next slowest skater bad. Huberto is the next slowest skater on the team.
Well, it doesn't help that he never moves his feet.
Again, one of the things driven home growing up playing hockey in Calgary, learn how to move your feet when you have the puck. You don't stop moving your feet when you have the puck. You keep moving your feet. Can you fucking chew? Why is he chewing bubble? Why is he chewing gum? Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it after speaking the chance. Of, he had a nice chance of, tonight.
Yeah, sure did. Yeah, what do you mean when he was all alone in the slot and didn't do anything with it?
He fanned on the first shot. Got the second one off.
Oh, yeah, right into the crest. Yeah, he had a real nice chance, didn't he, Michael? Yeah, he had the chance. Didn't do fuck all of it.
Coronado set him up for a chance.
Is Coronado our best player? I think he might be.
Well, he's the player that I like. He's probably the only player, maybe Zadorov, who would I consider getting a jersey, so...
Well, yeah, after those comments today. Zadorov fucking laying out bodies. That was great. Yeah. I like how he just skates right to the bench after. That was awesome.
Extend him. Screw Hanifin.
Make him the captain. Well, not actually. What did you think about Backlund? Like, the thing is, we already know we're not going to get any more skill out of Backlund because he's the captain.
This is kind of what we said is, like, or we've said for ever since Kachuk's been gone a year and a half, is like Backlund is the team's on ice leader, but he shouldn't be.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like he's the captain, but it's kind of an indictment on the team that he's the captain. You know what I mean?
I'm just like, at this stage, I'm here for the drama now. I just want to see how bad it gets and what these they're gonna be forced to work together as a team.
Yeah, I guess. Unless they just quit again. I don't fucking know.
Because what it is you have it is like Zadorov nailed it. You watch it, and it's just like for the most part, it's 80% of the team playing as individuals, just playing an individual game. So Huska better get his fucking acting gear.
I think that's a good point.
You got to break things down and simplify things. And systems wise, you learn them one piece at a time. You start with the most biggest weakness and you build up from there. But like, you don't have fucking time in the NHL. Like, that's the problem.
You missed the playoffs by 1 point last game, even though everyone's telling me the first three games didn't matter. I don't know if the first six games matter to people because they keep. Well, it's early. It's only been three games. It's only been six games. It's only been 20 games. It's only been 48 games.
It's only been one season. Next season, comeback season.
This was a point I did want to touch on related to like players playing like individuals. Like I think that's what I'm kind of like still like not sure of with Huska is like I don't really know how he wants the team to play.
Well, like, we don't know anything about him.
I don't, there's a few changes in the D zone. The neutral zone's been a turnover machine mess. They're not particularly quick in transition and creating offense. I'm using that word lately, the way they're creating offense seems to be identical to how they created offense last year, which is perimeter shots, try to get a rebound.
Well, they should have had two or three goals tonight. And I don't know, man. Like, even that one, I don't know who shot it, but it's just Shesterkin.
Osterley shot it. Makes that pad save.
Yeah, on Osterley. Yeah. Like, a lot of goaltenders, that's going in because they're not even paying attention to where that rebound went, and they're not getting over there that quick. But that's the other problem is, like, where's the finish? You passed it at him. You passed it to the open net. Doesn't work in the NHL. You can't pass into the net and score in the NHL. You ever seen Austin Matthews do that?
Just whips it.
So, I mean, you're
like,
right.
What's the idea? I'm just struggling. Like, and I know some Daryl talked about is like the identity of a team is important. Like, I don't know how he wants the team to play.
No,
hopefully he's communicating it to the players, but I don't see it yet.
Hopefully it's a work in progress and there's a big revealing going to happen here soon. And it'll be self-explanatory because no one's asking it. We're not hearing anything about it. We're definitely not seeing shit.
Because, like, hey, at this point, I'd take a high-flying Bill Peters. We're going to burn you off the rush every single time system over what we're seeing right now.
Well, yeah, I got a clear vision of how he wanted to play. I remember that. I remember exactly the day where I was. First time I heard him on the radio. Because who was available? We had some great coaches available.
Quenneville was available. Or was it Quenneville? I don't know. There was a lot. Barry Trotz, I think, was the guy who was
Have they both won since? No, Quenneville didn't win again. But he took the Panthers to the what, finals?
Well, yeah, he took the Panthers to the...
Or the semifinals?
I guess he wasn't there that year they went to the finals, but they had that great season. He was the...
President?
Yeah, the president. When Huberto somehow set the record for assists by a left winger. I'm not sure how he pulled that off, but
me either, man. Like, I never watched Florida, but I'm sitting here during the games asking myself that question, like, how did this guy score 100 points?
How?
I have no clue. I don't see anything on a nightly basis, on a shift of shift basis, that would tell me this guy's ever scored 100 points in this league.
Like, and hey, aging curve is very real. There's no way you just fall off an absolute cliff like that and cannot play hockey anymore. What happened?
He's just got to get mad, dude. He's just too passive.
Is he? He's just like, maybe he's just like so weak, fragile mentally.
Yes, he is. Obviously. And that's what I mean. The only way to snap out of that is get mad and get angry. Like, fuck, for an extended period. Like, he's got to get some boxing gloves or something.
Get in a fight. I'd like to see that.
Dude, I think you might have to hit the gym first.
Like, pick up a barbell instead of a balloon.
Put the balloon down, bro, and pick up a fucking dumbbell. Oh, God. This is where we're at. I'm sorry, but fuck. I don't mean to be this big of a dick, but it's not fun to watch.
It's brutal. And what's more brutal is, like, here we go, you know, that, like, yeah, oh, fuck. Yeah.
Stop telling us they're good. Management. They're not.
They're good. They just underperforming.
We're amazing. We'll just do some more impressions.
We have Jonathan Huberto. God damn it. Fuck me. I'm John Bean. Probably didn't like whip his dick out and like put it on that wrinkled tablecloth they always have. Do you notice this? This drives me nuts. Like, I think they fixed it in recent years, but like the backdrop.
Everything's wrinkled, dude.
Everything's wrinkled. It's like they just pulled it out of a fucking bin in the Saddle Dome and like put it up. Yeah. Like, iron it at least. So bad. It's like Brad Tree living, like, oh, we're just introducing the new player we've just acquired, signed him to a $90 million deal, and like the freaking backdrop is like a wrinkled old thing you'd find in like somebody's basement from 1973. Insane.
Oh, God. Oh, Dubé. I got him on my hate list.
Dubé freaking blows.
Dude,
there's just so many bad players on this team right now.
Oh, man. It's so painful right now. But the only way forward for this group is to work as a group. And I think if they do that, they might actually be okay to watch. But there's got to be some bite to their game, man. Like, they got no bite. There's zero bite. Coleman's got bite, I guess, back, but that line's got bite.
The line's the only – when they're on the ice, that's – well, I mean, the fourth line that they split up tonight for some reason has been pretty good. But, I mean, when you're saying, oh, the fourth line's been good, you know you're in trouble.
It's been your best line.
Well, and that's – like, shit, man. Like, just play hard and fast and hit hard. We're not asking for much at this point, you know? You don't have to be Johnny Gaudreau. You don't have to be Matthew Tkachuk. But could you, like –
every week that goes by, our bar gets lower and lower.
Yeah. It's gone on from like, well, you know what? Like, here's a good thing on Huberto. Like, forget the contract. Forget that you make $10.5 million. Play like a good string of games for me. You know?
Play some simple hockey. Try that.
Like, just play hard. Make a few nice plays. Hit some guys.
Hang on to the puck a little longer.
Scrums. Yeah, maybe skate with the puck when you get it in the neutral zone instead of gliding and spinning around for some reason.
Dude, he gets it all on the side of the net there. And I think Cotter did too. Neither one of these guys has a quick one-time release. They have to like corral it before they shoot it. It's the NHL. You don't have time to fucking do that. The goalies already fucking came right out. Was it Shesterkin, man, where Furry came out to stop Cotter there? Is that Cotter? You got to get it off quick, especially against these fucking elite goaltenders. Maybe it's different when you're looking at it from a bird's eye view on the television screen night after night. But fuck, is it frustrating to watch, man.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Why did the game start?
I don't have any expectations. I'm just like.
No, I'm just here for the story now.
Yeah, like I'm just here to see how this plays out. Like, and you can tell, like, I didn't even get mad watching tonight. You know?
No, I'm just like, I'm just saying, yeah, that's what I expected.
Sure.
Yeah. I hate you still. Yeah.
Oh, but it's just like.
Who's on the puck now? Yeah, I hate him too.
Yeah. It's a sad story.
The Oilers lost again, though.
Yes.
Yeah, should we just change the
we're going to change the podcast strictly to an Oilers hate podcast.
I think should we? Like,
at
I
this
would
point,
have...
I'm way more interested. It's like way more compelling of a storyline. McDavid's hurt.
It gives me something to cheer.
Yeah, like I have way more fun.
Everybody that plays Edmonton is who I cheer for.
Like, watching that Winnipeg game in overtime, like I was more excited about that overtime winner Trifley scored than I have been about a Flames goal in like a year and a half.
It was nice watching the Oilers power play tonight. I watched probably about 10 minutes of the game before ours started, and there's a 5-on-3 and they didn't score. They had like a minute and 20 seconds on a 5-on-3. Can't do it without McDavid. I don't know, man. Like this. Whew.
This could be like a point in time for this.
This could be the fattest, juiciest steak I've had in fucking like a decade about to happen here. Because, like, again, I keep saying this is the NHL, you don't have a lot of runway. If you get in too big of a hole early on in the season, you have to be fucking insane. You have to go on an insane
run. How many times have we seen it here?
Every year.
Every year, other than like that one year.
Well, no, every other year.
Yeah, the yo-yo.
Yeah, this is the year we'll break our fucking yo-yo streak.
Yeah, it feels like it. That's for sure.
I don't see how they come back around, man. Like they might be a competitive team, but I don't know, man. Like the coaching thing is going to probably I don't know if Heska has it in them to get these guys. Like, what did you say? You felt sorry for him? He's got his hands full.
Yeah, he's got frick, man. He's got his hands full. Well, that's the other thing I find the media doing. They're like, oh, he sure got his hands full. It's like, yeah, I know. You guys claimed the opposite. You guys said this was going to be a great marriage made in heaven. Players coach and these beautiful flower child, beautiful players working together.
Yeah, everybody's blown.
No, it's not how it works. And now this poor guy's got like his, like, what the fuck is he supposed to do? Hey, your first NHL job. Welcome. Everyone's like, quit on you. ready. And he's in a tough spot. I feel bad for him. Because you can't tell me fundamentally hockey-wise he's that different than Daryl Sutter either, so.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
I am getting joy watching freaking Goody Two-Shoes Mr. Power of Positive Thinking up in Edmonton kind of have a
oh yes,
the coals under his ass though. That's
Mr. Peanuts. Mr.
Yeah, Peanuts.
Oh, he was in a pretty good mood today though. After
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah.
Well, I haven't seen his post game after tonight's loss though. So
came to see, yeah,
his stupid face after the post games is always just so awesome to watch.
He dropped an F bomb and apologized for it profusely. But
yeah, just apologize for swearing.
Incredible.
I haven't experienced losing with my team yet here.
I haven't experienced a game without McDavid dominating the whole night and me getting all the credit for being such a great coach. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me and Glenn PowerPoint.
Remember when everyone's like, oh, Woodcroft outcoached Daryl Sutter. That's how they won. It's like, yeah. And McDavid didn't have like 17 points in five games or anything.
Oh, yeah.
That was all Woodcroft. Yeah.
Drysdale didn't do anything either.
Drysdale didn't like set the record for points in a series. It was just all Woodcroft. But hey, like Kane's complaining about his ice time.
Oh man, that was awesome.
Woodcroft, their goaltending is like they may as well have Mike Smith. Mike Smith would honestly be a better option. McDavid's hurt.
Dude, they are
Drysdale's getting pissed at all the reporters.
They're on the verge, man.
I'm liking it.
And it's a for real. Like if McDavid, if that is a, and it probably could very easily be anything around the back area. If it's a nagging injury, this could be good, folks.
It's kind of whack that
this is all I wanted this season was a McDavid injury.
We talked about
it. It's all I've been wishing for.
This is a good lesson for all the kids out there about like manifestation and like, you know, words.
Flames missed the playoffs, but McDavid's injured. I'll take it.
I'll take that all day long.
That's a good trade-off. There's only one satisfaction I get anymore. So that from my own team. Yeah, I don't know what happened. He tweaked his back, eh? Did not look good.
Yeah.
And I mean, for him to miss 3-on-3, then you know it's fucking legit.
Yeah, I think they're in trouble. I hope they're in trouble.
Well, they can't. It's funny because remember when McDavid went, he missed like 20 games that one season and Drysdale was just like,
yeah, he was insane. Yeah.
Yeah. But, and maybe it's the back to back conference finals. Cause like you're sitting here like, when is it going to catch up to these guys?
Yeah. You just,
they play fucking 26 minutes a night.
Every night?
They're double, like, if they're losing, they get double shifted, then they win the game. Every night. Like, they do everything for the team.
Well, it's like, you look at the lines without McDavid, it's like, holy fuck.
Dude, watch a game without McDavid. Watch a power play without McDavid.
Well, that's how they played. That's generally kind of how they play, is like, hold on until McDavid gets back on the ice.
Yes.
Get caved in until McDavid gets out there.
Yeah. And then if you get some streaky scores like Kane, which, like you said, he's starting to pout. The guy that's the can, now he's comfortable. Eh?
Yeah. Now he's got that nice contract.
He's the comfortable cancer. Here he comes. Yep. Yeah. Starting off, he's already complaining about ice time 4 games into the season. This is good. I'm all for it. I'm here for our own storyline to see if this group can let go of their egos and fucking work together and find a solution and move forward. And whatever it is that looks like, I don't think it'll be stuffy cup contention hockey. I know that. We're nowhere near that. But could you pull? I just think you, if you're the coaching staff, you're trying to model what Seattle did last year. That's the closest you can get. But you got a ways to go for that. Like, we have no bite.
Well, and I mean, Seattle had a 40-goal guy. Jared McCann scores 40 goals. Like, do we have that? I mean, theoretically, you're like, oh, Lindholm, but like,
no, it's a 20-goal score at best.
I don't think so. No. We maybe could have been out with like a Toffoli.
He's still uncertain if he wants to even be here.
Can you blame the guy? Isn't that an indictment on your – wouldn't Flames management, like, wouldn't that cause him to take, like, some semblance, like, retrospect a little bit and be like, okay, the guy we're offering
– God damn it, no! We got to keep him. He wants to be in Calgary. Calgary Sports and Entertainment Company will rule.
He loves it here. He loves it.
You think they take Lindholm being like, yeah, I'm going to say no to that like $80 million. I don't think so. You think they'd be like, whoa, does that reflect poorly on us? No, it must be the player. It must be Lindholm.
We must offer him more.
They're like their principal Skinner. It's like, am I out of touch? No, it's the children. That's what they're like.
Anyways. Oh, so our storyline and the Oilers storyline, man, I'll think.
It'll be a fun outdoor game to watch.
Oh yeah, just real fucking great, eh?
To watch two really bad teams without the best player in the world play. That'll be fun.
I like how Peanuts up there in Edmonton. He was talking about it today. He's like, well, one thing I know, Connor. He's like holding out. He's holding out.
Why has he got so many teeth? He's got way too many teeth in his mouth. Yeah. Why don't they pull some out?
He's got about like 9 extra teeth. Isn't that what happens when your dad has sex with his sister or something like that? Where is he from?
Let's take a look. Hopefully he's not from the south. Maybe he's from small town. If he's from a small town, that pretty much confirms it.
Yeah, pretty much. I know. I think the teeth confirm it. I see. Well, I have so many teeth.
I keep seeing. Oh, he's from Toronto. Well, hey, he's from Ontario.
Oh yeah, some weird stuff happens there, I'm sure.
Yeah, some super weird stuff.
Big city, lots of back alleys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Never been there. Never want to go there. I'm good.
But seriously, I can't wait to watch some post-game footage of the Oilers loss tonight. That's what I'm going to go watch. Soothe my aching soul. I'm serious. Like, if you're on board, like, let's turn this into an Oilers hate podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it already kind of is. Like, we usually spend some amount. We usually have some allotted time to this segment. So,
well, the more satisfaction I'm getting from them losing to the Flames, which is
the more the Flames pretty much every night now. Yeah, the more the Flames become irrelevant, the more of a shit show Edmonton becomes. I'm sure it will just naturally become that, anyways.
True.
And then in the playoffs, like, obviously, Florida will probably make the playoffs, so we can be like an Oiler. We can be just a Matthew Tkachuk.
We'll just be a post Calgary Flame player.
Yeah, club. Well, just exactly. It'll be like very niche. We'll just follow all the great players who leave us and do great things. And Oilers hate.
Johnny's not having a good season, though, is he?
Well, I mean, the fucking idiot went to Columbus.
What an idiot.
It was funny. They asked him about the Rasmus hit the other night.
Yeah.
What do you say? It's a late hit. I don't know. I hope Patty's okay. He's like, tiptoeing, or it's just, yeah.
When we played in Columbus, I knew we were going to lose that, by the way. But I forgot Gabranson was on the team.
Oh, yeah. So he sucks, but boy, do I miss him beating the living shit out of people.
Dude, do you remember that? Oh, my God. Stop reminding me of fucking the first season.
The good times.
With Daryl. Yeah.
That Nashville game.
We were like, why are they picking up Zadorov and Gabranson? And all of a sudden, like, fuck, they look amazing. Yeah. And we got, you want to mess with us?
We'll kill you.
Like, Gabranson was, like, killing people when he fought them.
Like, it was scary. It was frightening.
Elite team we played. They play some big boy hockey over there. What do we play now? Little girl hockey?
We play freaking peewee. Novice hockey. Not Coleman, even novice hockey.
Yeah, that Backlund Coleman Mangiapane line,
it's the only big boy line.
It's the only big boy line.
I remember being frightened. There's only a few people I've been scared to watch, like a level of fighting, but it's like when you're watching, you're like, holy shit, he's gonna take somebody's head off.
Remember Chris Simon.
Chris Simon, Gabranson. The Oilers used to have Steve McIntyre. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah. He was fucking
I saw
nasty.
Him.
Or George Laroque.
Holy shit. I saw Steve McIntyre I don't know why this is so, because maybe it was a traumatic memory. Like, I was right behind the glass, and it was a preseason game. Steve McIntyre almost killed Jim Vandermeer, like beat the living shit out of him. It was insanely frightening. Gabranson's probably the scariest fighter I've ever seen fight live. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Did he fight? He didn't fight, but I remember him being in that scrum at the end of that Columbus game. His helmet was off, and I was like, holy shit, he's going to kill someone.
Yeah. This is a good thing it was his former team. I don't know. How is it a four-game suspension?
Oh, dude, I have no
clue. This league, man.
This league is insane. Spin the wheel to decide what your punishment is. Today, we're feeling this a lot. Somebody posted, like, remember when McDavid jump-elbowed that guy in Montreal? Didn't even get a penalty or a game. It was like, but Anderson gets 4 games for that.
Look, it's a chart. I don't even know if it's a game suspension. Maybe because it's late in the game. I
thought it was could have been a fine. Maybe because it's late, you give him a game. 4 games? What are you doing? And all the... okay. I don't use Twitter, but sometimes I go on there just for news. Like, apparently it's the most fucking self-righteous, especially with hockey fans. It's like, everybody who uses Twitter on hockey Twitter is apparently a self-righteous prick. See all these comments from people who have nothing to do with the Flames. Oh, that was a terrible hit. Number one, that's a terrible hit. He should be ashamed of himself. That's a 10 game suspension. I agree with the 4 games.
It wasn't that dirty.
It wasn't bad at all.
I mean,
Laine moves a bit at the end. Well,
the guy has the puck for one, so he's fair game. The game is not, the score clock has not gone off yet.
Yeah.
For two.
Would you like to go past me, sir? There's still time in the game. Go on.
Yeah. Oh, the buzzer ain't gone yet. So let's not play hockey anymore. The rules don't apply. I don't know, man.
Like, good match, sir.
It's definitely a charge. He leaves his feet. Was there head?
I think there was because Laine kind of moved. I don't know.
But was it the principal point? And I know like that's part of the ruling is if they.
I don't even know part of the ruling anymore.
If they move their own head into the danger area, it's not the onus really on the player anymore. The other player.
Anderson's never been suspended. Like, I don't get how you get that harsh.
Four?
I've seen way worse hits not get anything.
Hey, fucking.
How about the freaking board on Rozichka tonight that almost killed him? There wasn't even a penalty.
No goal. No.
Yeah. Great. Great player safety. Yeah. Great job.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
4 games. I would have been complaining if he got 2 games. One, I would have been like, okay, fine. Whatever. One, move on. But four? Insane. He hit him. And then he left his feet. I guess the Lion's injured, so that plays into it. But still, man, like, fuck. That's ridiculous. Yeah, should not be four.
Stupid. He's missing the outdoor game because of this shit.
Look at this shit. You excited about this fucking outdoor
game? I might not even watch the
outdoor game. Oh, great. We get to watch the most boring team that I hate.
I can't.
The outdoor game. That sounds great.
I can't. Okay, like, I can't think. And I'm not even saying this because I'm like a cynical asshole. I can't think of anything I'd rather not do in the entire world than go to Edmonton and watch the Flames and Oilers play in a football stadium in October. There's literally nothing that would be worse in that I could conceive.
Well, McDavid being not in the game makes it a little bit better, but if he was in the game, it might be worse.
I don't know. I just can't think of anything. These poor saps who spend all this money to go do this. I guess.
You know
people,
how this...
I guess
you know,
people like to do stuff, but it sounds awful.
You know how I was hoping this plays out? Well, too bad we can't. We won't be able to beat the Oilers.
Oh, no, we're going to lose, of course.
Actually, you know what? We probably will. What's our week look like here? I don't even know. Who are we playing next? St. Louis tomorrow night?
Like St. Louis the next night. Not tomorrow, but the next night.
So Thursday night, St. Louis, and then Saturday is the, or is it Sunday, is the outdoor game.
Sunday, isn't it? Well, I don't... Do we play St. Louis 2 games in a row? Oh, no, we don't. We play St. Louis on... Yeah, it is. It's on Sunday. That's the next game after that. Got a nice little break there. St. Louis, and then...
Dude, how bad is St. Louis right now? It should be a real barn burner, eh? Barely beat Buffalo.
Got some good hockey.
You almost barely beat Washington.
You played one good period in Washington.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, again, to your point that you made on the last podcast. With tonight's first period, you need to find a way to be up two goals.
Yeah, like, it can't be we dominated and we had chances on the power play and it's 1-0.
Like, not acceptable. So, yeah, they're going to have to get greasier, man. Like, take... I don't know what the solution is. I really don't.
I don't think there is one other than this is not a very good team who's going to struggle to... This is what the season's going to be like.
They need to transform into something that they're currently
you
not.
You need different players. Like, you honestly need more top-end players or a top-end player. That's what you need. This is this team without 35-goal Toffoli last year. This is what they are. Apparently.
But Sharangovich has got a great shot, though, man.
Yeah, he's really versatile. He can play all three positions. I haven't minded his game, but...
Well, he's been better than the first three games of the season, for sure.
But you're just... That's what you... You're the same team without your best player last year. And not even your best player. Without the only guy on the team who can score goals. So, it's not... How's that working out for you?
Best case scenario for this Oilers debacle would be they continue to struggle. Who do they play next? I'm more curious about their schedule.
Oh, yeah. They interest me way more. Is that bad? Is that wrong? Should I not have done that? They interest me way more at this point. You know, I'm keeping more tabs on them. I think they play Minnesota tonight and got shit canned. I think they play New York on Thursday.
Nice. Yeah, New York's coming through town, eh?
Yeah, New York on Thursday and then us on Sunday.
Okay, so then there's a good chance without McDavid that the Rangers beat the Oilers.
There's a good chance we're looking at that outdoor game being the battle of the two worst teams in the Pacific, although San Jose is 1-0 game, so.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to play them. Get our asses kicked.
Yeah, good point. Mark that one on the schedule.
Yep.
The first game, Santa. It was
don't
so
worry,
funny.
We haven't played the shitty teams yet. Fuck.
Strength of schedule, you guys.
Don't worry, we've played the best teams in the league. The worst teams. Oh my so god, or worse.
Who's the guy? Eric Johnson, guy in Buffalo, in that Buffalo game. He was like, "Oh, it's his first. He doesn't score in like 68 games."
Yeah.
It's like slump busters. Here we are.
Here we go again.
Got a slump. Play the Flames. My favorite most recent slump buster was like when we played Nashville and Jankowski was playing for them.
They brought him up for one because they knew they were
from one game he scores. It's like, oh, Jankowski hasn't scored since like 2019.
This is going to be the new analytics thing, eh?
The player tracking.
Yeah, like best team to put your slumping players against to bring their slumps. Oh, we got the Flames coming up here. We better get fucking these shitty guys in the lineup.
We got any rookies we can throw in looking for their first goal? How about a backup goalie nobody's ever heard of?
Yeah. Who else has a monkey on their back? We're putting the Flames up here. Yeah,
let's all get you in.
Well, what? You have a – they can't beat an 8. They are what, 0-8 against AHL rosters in the past three seasons? Let's give everybody a night off.
Nice rest game. Nice little load management.
Yeah, nice little load management for the entire team. Can't score well in power play. Huberto's spin passing. Into the skates. What do you think Mike Smith's doing right now?
I don't know. We could use him, to be honest. Mike Smith and Dustin Wolf.
I would take Mike Smith over Markstrom right now.
Oh, totally.
Dude, Smith and Wolf. There you go.
Yeah, make it happen.
And then you could actually go and buy some fucking goal-scoring talent.
No, we need that $8 million locked up in our second worst. What's the Flames? I got to check the goalie stats right now. I don't have them offhand. I gotta find them all. I got to know.
Do you think they could trade Markstrom with somebody?
I don't think so.
Somebody dying
for a goaltender? Here's the thing. Like with these trades, is like this is – I don't want to get into a big philosophical discussion tonight, but – This is the thing. Like, this is why not having an aggressive and concrete plan never works out. This is why, oh, we'll see what happens this year. Never works out. Because it's like, you look at how, like I said a little while ago, like, how much different would you be feeling if they had sold off a few things in the summer and been like, yeah, we're going to maybe not totally rebuild, but we're going to, you know, trade some guys and try to retool. It was like, this is what happens when you have no plan ever other than let's see what happens. Because it's like, oh, you can't trade Markstrom. How you can trade Markstrom now? We can't trade him. No, we can't trade him. It's like last year at the deadline. Ah, well, we can't trade Toffoli. We're almost in the playoffs. Can't trade these guys. Yeah, well, how much farther along would you have been if you traded them all at the deadline last year? Anyways. Fuck. I don't think you can trade them. Who's going to
trade them? You could trade Huerto, couldn't you?
Fuck, I don't think so.
No, too big
a contract. I think you're stuck. How are you going to trade 10 unless you ate half of it for 8 years? How are you going to do that?
Can you believe this guy is under contract for 8 more years?
It's pretty scary.
And
like, do you
and Kadri is even worse?
At least Kadri's is like you can buy that out.
Well, not this year though.
Not this year, but like Huberto's is like at any point if you buy him out, he's making the same amount of money essentially because it's all bonuses.
That fucking dreaded Boston Pizza meeting.
I fucking knew that dumb Boston Pizza would screw us at whatever restaurant they went to. Weirdly enough, Markstrom is still, according to Evolving Hockey's model, he's fourth in goals saved above expected. So he's made some incredible saves.
Yeah, but he's letting these stinkers.
Save percentage-wise, let's take a look at the Flames as a team. Because last year, they were 31st out of 32 teams, and everyone was like, oh, it's just the coach being an asshole is why they missed the playoffs. I was like, yeah, it's got nothing to do with the save percentage being the shitter.
No, it's got nothing to do with Huberto fucking stinks.
Yeah. Well, would you look at that? The Flames currently have the dead last 5-on-5 save percentage in the league. 32nd.
Sweet.
There you go.
Game 92.
If you wanted to know, all strengths save percentage is 27th. So, yeah. Really good. Really got a Wolves just sitting in the AHL.
Yeah, too bad we don't have a fucking...
Too bad we don't have the best goalie prospect in the entire league.
Too bad we didn't have somebody in our pipeline that was like really, you know... Dude, like you say, he's the best goaltender in the world not playing in the NHL.
Where do you get those guys? Man, it must be tough.
Jeez, it must be nice, eh? I wish we had nice things.
We do have nice things, and then we squander them and lose them because of stupid decisions.
Yeah, we had nice things.
We had nice things for a little while, and it was really nice. Torturing myself. I think it's because we were talking about that Nashville game, Halloween game, last time.
How about the Cassian game?
Yeah, I was like,
I know what this will be. This is being Oilers hate, ex player
reminiscing about the good times,
tracking currently and cheering for, and then yes, reminiscing all the good times that we had.
I was just watching that Nashville game highlights, and it's like, it just transfers you to a different planet. It was like the Flames are down, like, I don't, was it 4-1 or 3? Yeah, they're down 4-1 in the third. Yeah, there's Gio out there. There's Monty out there. Gio and Chucky and Monty and
holy fuck.
Just like bang, 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 tie it up. Holy cow. Nashville scores. Riddick's going nuts. The crowd's going nuts. Gio, Lindholm, Monahan, Chucky, all out there. Great little passing play in the back. Chucky's ties the game. So it's like, fuck, man. Overtime between the legs goal. Crazy. Just like, It's a different planet. You see those guys jump over the boards, and it's like, man, holy fuck, are they're dangerous. So much fun to watch. Gio's just balls to the wall, skating like a madman.
That line has dominated every fucking every team. They dominated.
Those are the days.
Can you believe Brad Treliving did not lock up Matthew Tkachuk?
I think that's was my first thought after I was watching those highlights the other day from 4 years ago. What? I think I said something. You should be in jail for that. That game, right after that game, the Flames should have been like, you know what? Was he in a I guess he wasn't in a contract year. They should have done something to like lock him up for eternity. How about
make him the captain?
Yeah, that right after that game, they should have been like, you know what, Gio, yeah. We love you, but yeah,
Gio should have pulled a Craig Connery and handed over the totally. Captaincy.
Fuck.
Clearly, I'm not leading the bus. You are. No. It can't be like that every night, though.
No, yeah. Tone it down there, bud. No.
Yeah. Just take it down.
Hey, can we have any riots? I'd sure like to see a riot.
Holy fuck. Does Huberto even know what a riot is?
A riot would be a freaking breath of... It would be a freaking lake in a goddamn desert right now.
I would just protest.
Like a protest?
Can we
protest would be nice at this point.
Can we get a rally? Can we see something?
See a sparsely attended rally would be nice. Fuck.
All right. Well, I think that probably concludes our fucking, you know, synopsis of where we're at. I don't know. I'm in the same boat as you. I get more and more detached because it's just like, we end the season the way we did. They can Sutter in the way they did. You read between the lines the way we did. You have low expectations the way we did. They come out and they look like this. So, I don't know, man. We've seen this coming. Like I said, the writing's been on the wall for a while. It's just not, it doesn't look good. It does not look good. So, but I am here for the storyline now because I'm curious to see how bad it'll get and what rock bottom looks like. And then what it looks like to come out of rock bottom. What kind of hockey will they get to? What is the cap for this group? Because at the end of the day, I think that's what Daryl does. That's what he does. He breaks you down so that you get built back up into whatever you're going to be. And Daryl's not around, so they're going to just do it to themselves. They're going to be the ones building themselves back up. Husk will be a part of it. I'm not sure what his role is yet, but we'll see. We're going to find out. So I don't know. I'm just here for whatever lies ahead in the sense of you can't quit the season.
Yes, that'd be sweet.
And it's some
like forfeit.
They still got to dress up every night. So what are they going to draw from? What are their goals going to be? Their goal is not to win the Stanley Cup. Give me a fucking break. So maybe their goal is to be a playoff team, to squeak into the playoffs and be the underestimated. Like, can they rally behind that? Maybe. Can they be that group of, you know, essentially at this point, it is looking like misfits that when everybody writes them off, they rally behind that and they build a cohesion. We've got to see some chemistry, man. Like, there's zero chemistry on this team. But I'm here to see it, but to what extent that they're going to come together as a group and what it's going to look like.
But no, we're not going to overreact here. We're not going to overreact here. Overreact here. Overreact here. You use the word, not me. I'm not allowed to ever use the word rebuild.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.